Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, and welcome to yet another edition of Coast to Coast AM. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on ye old internet, thanks to AudioNet in Dallas. Thank you, AudioNet in Dallas. I'm Art Bell, and this is the weird radio program in the nighttime that you've heard about. And I'm sure that's what it'll be tonight. Let me tell you what's going on. Tonight is going to be open lines. Anything you guys want to talk about is fine with me. As a matter of fact, I'm just about ready to go on a witch hunt. I mean a real witch hunt. I do this every now and then. One time I had luck. And I'll explain to you why I'm going to do that. Tomorrow night, let me take care of that first. Tomorrow night is going to be a very serious night, so I intend to have fun tonight. Tomorrow night, we are going to have at 11 o'clock, beginning of the show here in the West, Marcia Kite, who is in Denver. Marcia Kite, I spoke with earlier in the day, and she lost her 23-year-old daughter in the explosion at the Murrah Federal Building, and she has attended every day of the trial, save one, when they were doing phone records or something. And I thought it would be particularly useful to be able to talk to somebody who was able to do what we, of course, have not done, aside from her intense interest, obviously, in the trial. She has been there, and she got to hear all the evidence we did not get to hear, that which 12 people who convicted Mr. McVeigh heard. And so she will be our guest in the first portion of the show, and then she will be followed by Joyce Riley. And Joyce Riley has some absolutely shocking information for you. So that's what's coming up tomorrow night. You're not going to want to miss that for sure. Let me announce, I have got, I don't know, probably hundreds of messages. And yes, I still have AOL. We're in negotiation at the moment. But there are hundreds of messages in there from people who have seen and love our new live studio cam. And it's been a blast, absolutely a blast. Now, I'm learning something, that's for sure. Have you ever taped, try this just for fun one night, the NBC Evening News with Tom Brokaw? And as Brokaw does the news, take your remote control, if you've got a good forehead VCR, and freeze frame Brokaw at almost any moment, and he has the dumbest look on his face. Tom Brokaw looks like a complete idiot when you freeze frame him. And occasionally, and of course that's what this program is doing, about every 30 seconds, it's taking a freeze frame shot of me, processing it in my computer through my local ISP to a server in Arizona, where it is then processed and goes out over the net. So, you know, if you go up to my website, the first thing you see up there is, in new items, live a studio cam. And when you go to it, you get a very, very, very high quality updated photograph every, I don't know, 40 seconds, whatever it is. You know, however often it updates, you get it. And so it freeze frames me, and I never really know how it's going to catch me, and so I guess I know how Tom Brokaw feels, because there will be an occasional very flattering photograph, and there will be an occasional photograph where your tongue is hanging out. You know, it just depends on how the camera catches you at that moment, and even though I know when it's going to take the photograph, it counts down in seconds and tells me, all right, boom, and then it freezes for a second and starts counting down again. So I could look over there and pay attention, but I don't. I mean, I can't pay attention to that. I've got to pay attention to doing the programming. But it's a lot of fun, and we're getting rave reviews, and we're doing a little tweaking. And for those of you who have been watching the live studio cam, Let me tell you what the plans are. I would expect in the next 2 days we're going to get a video sequencer and another camera, which I am going to mount off to the side so that you can be able to see my studio console, and you'll see me from either the back or the side as well. And we will have it sequenced between those two camera shots. Keith, at the same time, is tweaking in Arizona and getting things working the way he wants them to work. I've actually had people putting together collages into a little moving motion picture of Art Bell in motion. I don't, you know, with shots this far apart, I'm not sure it's meaningful, but they're doing it out there. And I'm getting a lot of people who are sending me back renditions of what they have received on their end. The whole thing is a blast. And we're going to do one other thing tonight. This is radio with television. Pretty weird stuff, folks. The other thing that we are going to do tonight is my wife has agreed to come in. And so you're going to get to see my, I can't tell you when, but at some point tonight, Ramona will come in and you'll get to see her. And so all of you who are picture savers out there, that'll be your big moment. I don't know what it's going to be. I can't tell you, but she is definitely going to come in. She has promised. And I thought you would enjoy that. All right, look, new affiliates, new affiliates, new affiliates. Welcome KGAL-AM in Albany, Oregon. 1580 on the dial in Albany. Glad to have you on board. Here's a big one, folks. WWNZ in Orlando, Florida. 50,000 watts on 740. Ooh, my. 50,000 watts on 740. So, rounding out to about 360-something affiliates for Coast and about 370 or 380 as an aggregate for the two programs, something like that. And I am instructed here that I should give a special thanks to Russell Smith, who's the chief engineer of WWNZ, get it straight, Art, WWNZ, in Orlando, because I guess Russell jumped through a whole bunch of hoops to get the technical side of things going. And I, Russell, I surely know how that goes, my friend, so thank you very, very much. As a matter of fact, it says here Russell has helped get Coast to Coast on at least 3 or 4 of your affiliates. Really? So he's a traveling guy. Anyway, thank you, Russell, and glad to be on. This will cover, I would imagine WWNZ will cover, well, you know, we ought to find out. But at 50,000 watts, it ought to cover a whole bunch of Central Florida and more. Obviously, so we're glad to have you on board. Now, it's going to be open lines. Let me first tell you about my little witch hunt before we go any further. And I know I always catch y'all for this, but it doesn't matter. I am looking for a real broom-riding, spell-casting, magic-dispensing witch. You know, a witch. No, not a practitioner of Wicca, nor do I mean to in any way demean the practitioners of Wicca. You guys know that is not what I mean. And Bern Marie, you're already typing, I know, out there in San Francisco. And everybody will tell me you will never find one, but I did find one once. And the reason I'm bringing this up tonight is because I had a very nice lady, and I won't even tell you who she is, call me and tell me, I'm your broom-riding witch. And she sent me photographs and everything. Man, she looked like a witch. I went, oh, wow, this is it. And I called her up, and she was a very nice lady, but she was a practitioner of the white arts and the white light and the, you know. And that is not what I'm after. Again, so that I can specify here, I am after a broom-riding. Metaphorical, okay? You don't really have to have a broom. Broom riding, spell casting, magic dispensing, witch. That's what I want to find. So if there's any witches out there, get hold of me by fax, and I will call you. Now, surely a witch would have or could have access to a fax machine, right? And fax me at area code 702-727-8499. Now, I want to remind everybody, as I do every night, I've got a three-page fax max. Anybody who sends in excess of three pages, well, I'll leave it at that. Three-page maximum, as I always announce. Fax me, area code 702-727-8499. I want to interview a real witch. I know you're out there. All right, the serious stuff. Jurors Wednesday begin to consider whether Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh will be executed or spend his life in prison. It should be quite a process. The prosecution plans to call 45 witnesses over a period of 3 days. Most, including no doubt my guest tomorrow night, will talk about the loss of their loved ones. It's going to be very heart-wrenching. You are going to see testimony over the next 3 days that is going to be hard to watch. Legal analysts say Timothy McVeigh's best hope for avoiding the death penalty may be to beg for mercy from the jury. When the penalty phase of the trial begins Wednesday, the same jury of 7 men and 5 women are going to be asked to decide whether McVeigh should be sentenced to life in prison or death by lethal injection. A law professor at the University of Colorado and a former federal prosecutor said, quote, "My opinion is Timothy McVeigh's only real promising hope is to confess the crime and express extraordinary remorse." Well, let's see, what else have we here? More sex misconduct at Aberdeen, the Aberdeen Army Proving Ground in Maryland. We've got a commander there going into early retirement, admitting to adultery. It's for an affair he committed 5 years ago when he was in divorce proceedings. Wow. President Clinton's plane had to alter course. It had a close encounter of another airplane kind. There is a very strict rule that suggests that other airplanes must remain within a certain distance of Air Force One, and if not, Air Force One must change course, and they had to do that. Let's see, what else? More evacuees from Africa. And this is interesting. Parents are being warned about the potential dangers of window blind cords. Apparently, toddlers are being choked to death. As a matter of fact, they say 183 of them were accidentally strangled to death between 1981 and 95. 183 children choked to death by window cords. Holy moly. I've got a New York Times article here on the weather. As you know, it is changing. And now the New York Times has caught on. There was also an extensive story on CNN showing a lot of the same interesting photographs that Stan Deo showed and predicting the beginning of an El Nino, which will change weather patterns worldwide. And that is beginning in earnest, apparently, in the Pacific Ocean. So there you have that. And I've just got a whole bunch of stuff here. But I think I'll hold on to a lot of it. Confirming an earlier story, the Associated Press from the... let's see, what newspaper is this? I'm going to have to dig out which newspaper it is, but it's an AP story. They are beginning a mass vaccination program in the Dominican Republic. Now, that is interesting because I ran, as you know, with Dr. Horowitz, a story indicating something very serious was going on there. And now we're going to find out that they are going to literally try and inoculate the entire Dominican Republic. The Medical Association warns the actual number of cases of this strange disease could rise to 45. The disease is passed on by coughing, sneezing, or through saliva, and is characterized by high fever, chills, and vomiting. Doctors expect the death rate range from 30 to 90%. Wow. So, for those of you that did not think that what Dr. Harwood said was real, it apparently is very real and is being, no doubt, kept very quiet, the Dominican Republic being, of course, a hot tourist location. And you could imagine they would want to keep it quiet. Okay, let me see now. If you've ever wondered, the real reason women talk more than men is they've got the brains for it. I don't know about this article. It says scientists have discovered that two language control areas in the female brain are significantly larger than those in the male brain. We measured the brains of 10 men and 11 women after death, and found that the Wernicke Center, I guess it is, Wernicke Center, which helps us interpret words and sounds, takes up to 30% more of women's brains. Ooh! And this area, according to the doctor, which helps us select words, sentences, and grammar, is 20% bigger in women than men. Huh! This is quite, they say, a dramatic finding, I should say. It's the first time we've seen such a biological difference in the human brain between men and women. Hmm. You know, but what I would have to comment here, that not always does it result in higher quality speech. Now, it seems to result many times in volume, in greater volumes of speech. Now, this is my observation, but have you ever run into one of those chatty women? They drive me absolutely crazy. And they say absolutely nothing. Bigger brains, huh? Harumph from Harumph.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
Good morning, everybody. I am Art Bell. And in a moment, I've got a fellow with a kind of a Well, let me read you the facts he sent to me, all right? Art, I sent this to you on the night that you had the Air Force officer talking about the UFO over the missile silo. Oh, yes, we had an Air Force officer here who talked about a UFO over one of our silos. But he said you didn't get it because of the three-page limit that I just realized tonight. Also, I was afraid to talk to you then because I was working at NSA. That's no such agency or National Security Agency. But I was fired last week, so now I don't care. UFO stopping an aircraft carrier. What? Anyway, when I got this, this fax, it indicates that he knows about an aircraft carrier that was stopped by a UFO, an unlikely event. I called Jim, we won't identify him, and I really have, let's see, where is he? Oh, he's in Maryland. Maryland. And I won't identify him any further than that. In a moment, I'll bring him on the air and we'll ask him about it. This is another one of those spur of the... A lot of things that we do on this program are done on the spur of the moment. This is one of those. Now, a UFO stopping an aircraft carrier... Huh? Jim's on the line. Jim, hi.
Good morning.
I take it you're in Maryland somewhere,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, in Maryland.
Okay, you worked for the NSA?
Yeah, for 21 years.
21 years?
Yes.
For the NSA?
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into details, what's it like working for no such agency?
It's pretty stressful, actually.
That's an answer I would expect. Stressful. Yes, very stressful.
I'm a little kind of relieved that I'm not there anymore, to be honest with you.
You got canned?
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with UFO, though.
You weren't spying or anything?
No. Creating a disturbance in the workplace.
Oh,
I was...
Did you go postal at NSA, Jim?
No.
No?
No, not that bad.
Okay.
Just dissatisfied with a lot of waste that goes on and co-workers not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You were a whistleblower.
Well, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little boisterous in my discontent.
So you went vocally postal?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think I've got the picture.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hell of a deal after 21 years. Do you get out of there with any retirement?
I have some money in the retirement system that I'll be able to draw on when I get a little older.
So
I'm in the trades. I have a good skill. I'll be working. I'm not worried about that.
How does a skill that one uses in NSA translate to the civilian world?
Oh, what I involved in electrical distribution and electricity, so I'll be able to,
okay,
to work.
All right. Now, so you're willing to say something that you obviously could not say when you were working for the NSA.
Well, I was, it's one of those touchy subjects. Really didn't have too much to do with there. It was I was in the military. I was in the Navy and communications.
Yes.
In the 60s and 70s.
Uh-huh.
And I experienced... pretty terrifying experience on board the John F. Kennedy aircraft carrier one evening.
The John F. Kennedy?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us what you did on that aircraft carrier? I mean, what kind of job?
I worked in the communications department.
Communications, that figures, all right.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
Well, one evening all the communications went out. We heard on the intercom from a signal bridge that we heard a sailor yelling that God was here at the end of the world. And then another more rational sailor got on the intercom.
That God was here and it was the end of the world?
Yeah, that's what he was yelling. That God's here, it's the end of the world.
Might be a rational conclusion. What was he seeing?
Well, another sailor got on the intercom that was a little more rational, and he said there's something. All he said was there's something hovering over the ship. There's something over the ship. And I had heard from the other part of communications that all communications were out, voice and teletype. So a couple of us ran out. We were right below the flight deck. We ran out to the edge the flight deck, looked up, and we saw this big glowing sphere hovering over the island structure, the center of the aircraft carrier.
A glowing sphere.
Sphere, yeah.
How high above? How big?
It was really hard to say. It was in the evening. The sun had just gone below the horizon. It was still somewhat light, but you really couldn't see the horizon. There was no reference point. If it was low, it would have been a couple hundred feet in diameter. If it was a little bit higher, say a 6,000 or 7,000 feet, it would have been even bigger. But it was hard to judge. It looked to me a couple hundred feet in diameter.
Oh my. The only thing that I know, and I'm just a civilian, I was in the Air Force, but
right.
I've been a civilian a long time now, that could knock out everything. It's funny, a friend of mine wrote a book about this, that could knock out all the communications on an aircraft carrier would be an EMP pulse.
Yeah.
And a hell of a big one at that.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been briefed on that effect. Of course, years ago that was classified, the EMP type of thing. Nobody knew if everybody knew about it, so it was classified then. But it not only knocked out communications, it knocked out everything electronic. All the radar ceased to work. Compasses were going round and round, and just about everything that was electronic wouldn't operate. And they couldn't even launch any planes. The planes wouldn't start. So we were actually helpless in the water. We were able to maneuver. We could move, but that was it. Nothing else worked. I only saw this object for a few seconds because battle stations were sounding, general quarters, and I had to go back to my station, which was in communications. But later that evening, well, we were up all night talking about it. And I'm sure you were. Yeah, I had been on the ship and knew a lot of the people, and I had been on there for a couple of years, and having had discussions with radar operators and people that were on the bridge. And
Jim, how many men would be on the John F. Kennedy, in those days, was it just men, or were there, do you have women?
Just men.
Just men, all right, so we can talk about that.
About 5,000 men.
About 5,000 men?
Yeah.
How many of those 5,000 do you think saw this, whatever it is?
Probably only about 20.
20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I can explain that. It's very easy to explain. We had just completed a very long flight operation, in excess of 20 hours, and the majority of the crew that normally worked on the flight deck were below, getting cleaned up, getting something to eat, rest, trying to get some rest. So by the time this event started and general quarters was sounded and the crew started arriving back on the flight deck, the object had gone. So, and even on a carrier, you cannot really get out into the open. The flight deck is restricted because of the dangers, and there's really very few places that you can go and observe the sky on a carrier when they're in full operation. So it seems incredible that of 5,000 men, there were only maybe 15 or 20 eyewitnesses. That would be the bridge crew and anybody that did get back out on the flight deck.
And again, how long would you say the object hovered, and how long did you lose communications?
It was about 20 minutes.
And so when you lost communications, the aircraft carrier came to a dead stop?
No, we were able to move. We were able to move through the water and turn left and right, but that was about it.
Well, here's the thing, Jim, that has always puzzled me. Project Blue Book, the great whatever you want to think it was, the government issued, the Air Force said, the final conclusion was, well, yes, some of these are unexplained. We don't know what they are. However, they are not a threat to national security.
Right, my butt. When they can stop an aircraft carrier, that's a threat as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I kind of thought the same thing about hovering over the missile silo.
Right.
Deactivating American ICBMs, and then in another case, hovering over a Russian missile silo, and putting the damn thing into launch sequence.
Right.
Now, what if these things are not threats to national security, what is?
That's a good question. That's the $64,000 question. And, of course, at the time of the event, and you were in the military, you know a little bit how the military thinks. Whenever they experience something they can't explain, they classify it.
Yes.
Because they don't know if they didn't know if this object was Russian, alien, Chinese.
No, that makes sense, of course, yes.
So I never had to sign anything, but the commanding officer came on the closed circuit TV system to address the crew a few days later, which was standard procedure. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. He talks about the operational readiness exercise we had just completed and how we were going back to Norfolk and stand down, and we were going to deploy to the Med in a few months. And then at the very end of his speech, he said, "I would like to remind the crew that certain events that take place aboard a major naval combatant vessel are considered classified and not to be discussed with anyone without a need to know." And that was all that was ever said officially of the whole event, as far as I heard. And I've always been very patriotic, and having been patriotic, I didn't say a word about the event for years and years. And just recently, though, I've become very interested in the whole UFO phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
and been thinking a lot about it, and I've started to tell people the story that happened. And like I said before, having working where I was, I didn't want to bring any attention to myself at all, because, you know, it's a way that you can lose your clearance.
Of course.
Lose your job.
Of course.
I don't really say anything, but now that I'm
a strange
civilian again, right? You know, I still can't, you know, talk about some things, but I don't know that much anyway. I just took care of electricity. But anyway, now that I don't have that pressure on me, I figured, well, I'm going to go ahead and might as well go ahead and tell some people about this. And maybe I'll contact Dr. Greer.
Well, maybe you ought to contact Dr. Greer,
yeah.
And maybe there are others who, among the 20 or 30,
right.
who no doubt are listening and who will now come forward, Jim.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah, and you know, the quickening I have felt, I'm about your age, and I have felt in the past few years that something, you know, you could just sense it. Like you said, the pit of your stomach, sometimes you just feel something. And
there's not a question about it.
Right, something's coming to a culmination. We just don't know what it is.
Jim, I appreciate your coming forward. It is really an incredible story. Now, if you went vocally postal on them and you would like to do any of that here, you're welcome to do it. In other words, what was going on that frustrated you so badly? Waste? I mean, we all like to hear where our black budget tax dollars are being wasted.
I've always been, you know, I'm a taxpayer, too, and I don't want to see any waste. I want money well spent. Like I said, I'm very patriotic. During the Vietnam era, I didn't run off to Canada. I joined the military and, you know, served my country.
Here.
I didn't particularly like the situation that was going on, but I loved my country enough that I wasn't going to run off. But anyway, and I would see certain things happening where money was being wasted and people getting promoted that were incompetent and this type of thing. And it just gets on your nerves after a while. I always said I was never really suited for federal employment because I'm too conscientious.
I believe that's called the Peter Principle. That people are ultimately promoted to positions for which they are not qualified.
Right.
That is almost like a rule of nature. Law
I
of
think
nature.
So, yeah.
Uh-huh. And if they just keep quiet and don't make waves, they progress in the chain of advancement until they finally reach a position for which they're utterly not qualified.
Yeah. And I had gone to schools and it sponsored by them and it didn't matter whether I would always put my best effort into it, and the other people would just kind of sit back and coast through it. Well, we both got the same pay. We both got promoted. I didn't, you know, get any extra recognition, and I'm just irritated. You know, I always put forth a good effort, and the other people would just sit there and like a bump on a log, and they just move right along, you know. And it was irritating. It was very frustrating for a conscientious person.
Well, I'm sure that it was. So you really let go? I mean, how seriously did you let go?
It was a couple events, actually. It wasn't just one. It was, I always say, I kind of laugh now. I say I chewed out the boss one too many times. I would let it out no matter who was there, who it was. I didn't play the political game. I spoke my mind, and that's just not accepted.
Anymore?
No.
All right, Jim, my friend, thank you very much for coming on the air, and hopefully we will hear from others on this.
I really like seeing the pictures of you, too, in the studio. It's really great.
Oh, you're able to see those?
Yeah, I was sitting here watching you, getting ready for the show, actually. It started. I was watching and getting ready.
It's a big advance. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank
Take care.
You.
Yes, we're getting comments on the live studio cam, hundreds and hundreds of comments, and some of them, because of the nature of the camera. Well, here's someone, for example. Tonight I have on a shirt that, by the way, I got from Helsinki, Finland. And while I was in Helsinki, Finland, I thought that would make a nice little prop T-shirt, you know. And so I've got a fan from Monterey, Roger, who says, "Hey, Art, the live shots are pretty cool. Is the Helsinki T-shirt an advertisement for hair products?" "No, Roger, it is not. It is a souvenir of being in Finland. Do you ever open your eyes? Is that fluorescent lighting? You know how bad that is for you?" "No, Roger, it is not fluorescent. You have back problems. Sitting up straight and using a better chair may help. This is going to be interesting." "No, I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm simply paying attention." "I like my chair, Roger. Do you know, I picked out this chair when I knew I was going to come home and I was going to be doing the show from home instead of the studio where I used to work, which had a horrible chair, by the way, absolutely horrid. And I knew I was coming home. I went out and sat in chairs. I spent about an hour sitting in chairs because I knew I would be sitting in this chair for a long time. And I found one that supported my back just properly. And that is what I am now using. I'm very pleased with my chair. And as for, look, I wear glasses. That's why you can't see my eyes. And let me see, in 5 seconds it'll take it. So let me open my eyes wide and give you a shot that probably makes me look like that guy who ran the cult. So I just took off my, did you ever see the picture of the fellow, what's his name, who ran the cult, Rancho Santa Fe? His wide eyes, I just gave you a shot like that, took off my glasses. It is the glasses that make it look like my eyes are closed, I believe. So there, you got a great big shot of a wide-eyed Art Bell. We're going to have to learn how to deal with this. As I said, sometime I think this next hour, I'm going to entice my wife to come in so you get a look at her. Television. So cool. Television is so cool. Don't forget now, I am on a witch hunt. I am on a witch hunt. I'm looking for a real, my description, and I don't care how much trouble I get in for saying it, broom riding, spell casting, magic doing witch. That kind of a witch. And maybe I will open a special line for a witch later. And you've got to sift through a lot of people who claim to be this or that until you get a real witch. But they are out there, despite what the Wiccans have to say. They are out there. Incidentally, from Bay Area headlines. Well, you know what? I had to hold this until the top of the hour, until the Bay Area joins us, so I'm going to do that. We're going to take a break. Top of the hour is on the way. We'll be right back. It's an anything goes night. Whatever's on your mind is fair game. We'll just have a lot of fun tonight because tomorrow night is going to be real serious.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 3rd, 1997.
Top of the morning, everybody. I have just ordered, actually, my beautiful wife, Ramona, who you got to see if you were watching the live cam during this last break. She snuck in here and let her take a few photographs of her. And then she said, how about bringing me a cat? So I brought her Comet, who proceeded, and I'm sure it didn't snap that, although maybe it did. Comet got in the room and leapfrogged off her chest, using all claws in full action. And so she's trying to get the blood all taken care of right now. And Comet went several feet into the air. I don't know. He's always going to be wild. He's always going to be a wild child. No doubt about it. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, it's open lines tonight. It's anything you want to do, anything that you'd enjoy doing. I'm on a witch hunt this morning, and I knew well what to say and what not to say this time. I always make a disclaimer because I know that the minute I ask for a broom riding witch, I'm going to get a fax from Bryn Marie in San Francisco and everybody else who's into Wicca. And I got one, and I wish I could read it. When Comet jumped, all the faxes in here went flying. And I don't know where that one went, but she said, all right, disclaimer, something like that. I'll find that and read it to you. It was a wild moment in here before I came back on the air. That's such a wild animal. Okay, well, Comet really did nail my wife pretty hard. Maybe I'll bring her in and she can show you her scratches sometime. Boy, he really got her. Really got her. Art, the live cam is great when the asteroid zeroes in on Pahrump. Do you have enough cable to get it to a window for a live shot? Yes, I do. Yeah, we can have an outside cam, a UFO cam. I never thought of that. I thought of a microphone once, and I've always been meaning to put a microphone outside, but now that there's an opportunity to put it, you know, gosh, boy, you know, I could put an outside camera. I could mount a camera outside, by golly. And we have some pretty beautiful scenery here. We've got an 11,900-foot mountain that stands over the little town that I'm in. I mean, you know, a Rocky-sized mountain. That's a big mountain. There's still snow on it a little bit, even now. I would say 10 months or 9 to 10 months out of the year, there's snow on that mountain. It's very pretty, so I could have an outside cam. I don't know. The world stands in front of us. So I'm getting all kinds of things like this. Love the art cam. When you're going to go to streaming video, face it, Art, it's inevitable. Yeah, but you won't get the kind of quality you're getting now. Art, studio cam is great. I'm looking at Ramona waving. Will this be on during Dreamland? I would like to show my son. Yes, it will. Sure, we'll have it on during Dreamland. I see it, probably during most live shows, unless I want a night of privacy. Now, there may be some nights when I don't feel like doing this. And if I don't, then I'll turn it off. That's all. If you want to see our live studio cam, you can by going to www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. Welcoming WWNZ, 50,000 watts on 740 in Orlando, Florida. So you'd have to look at 50,000 watts on 740. Must cover like a giant chunk of Florida, if not the majority of. I don't know. We'll find out. And KGAL in Albany, Oregon, 1580 on the dial. Welcome both of you. to the network. Glad to have you. There is a very interesting story. It's open lines tonight, but here is one. We just had a man on the air, by the way, if you missed the first hour. There was a man who worked for the NSA, he says, and was fired for going vocally postal on them, and now tells the story of an aircraft carrier, the John F. Kennedy, that was stopped dead cold by a UFO hovering above it. Oof, what a story. And now this, and I've been hearing about this, and hearing about it, and I suppose I should have this guest on. Does the Bible contain a secret code that foretells the future? This is a Reuters news story, folks, not an Art Bell story, a Reuters news story from New York. With reviewers and experts denied an advance look. Good. A book was published around the world this week claiming that the Old Testament contains a secret code that 3,000 years ago foretold the Holocaust and the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. The book says the code, found in the Bible by an Israeli computer expert, figures, also foretold many other of history's major events and warns of an atomic war that could bring the end of the world in 2000 or 2006. Oh, my. Trumpeted with full-page advertisements in publications like the New York Times, the Bible Code has been snapped up in Hollywood by Warner Brothers, that sees it as a perfect vehicle for those who like their Raiders of the Ark flavored with large doses of Nostradamus-style predictions. Oh, I've got to interview this guy. So, if anybody out there knows the fellow who has written this book, by all means, folks, please send him my way, and I will interview him. Whew. Well, I'm not surprised. While we're on the subject of things that would seem to agree with my book, let me hit my book one time here because it's selling out. The second printing is selling out. It's going like crazy. And I don't know, maybe they're going to be ordering the third printing shortly. So here's the deal. And this deal is not going to be going much longer, I can tell you right now. I have authored a book called The Quickening. It apparently has resonated with a lot of people because we have never seen such ordering in all our lives. The Quickening is, I think, 337 pages. Oh, you know, I could get... Hey, honey, if you're listening out there, bring in my book, The Quickening. I just realized that I can hold that up and show people. Television. God, can you believe it? Television. The Quickening is a well-documented, careful explanation of everything I have come to believe and now have proven regarding what we are going through. Here she comes. Here comes my book. Thank you. I'm going to hold it up so you can see it. Let's see. Anyway, it is a compilation of things that I have come to believe are absolutely true through the years that I have been doing this program. And I'll try and give you a shot from the front and otherwise as well. I hope that comes out. And then I'll give you a side shot if I can. It really is a very, very fine book. It's a well-made book. They do nothing but the best quality work. So that's The Quickening. And if you'd like an autographed first edition copy of The Quickening, you really need to act because I'm not going to be doing that for too much longer. So let me give you the phone number, and they are ready for immediate shipment. Now, what's going to happen is the same thing that occurred last time. In other words, when I run out of books, I will stop advertising because it is too frustrating to people. And so I will stop the advertising. And I know a lot of you will say, oh, good, we don't want to hear it anyway. But I wouldn't wait, because I am told my publisher says the second printing is going about like the first. The number is 1-800-864-7991. You can call it right now. Or if you can't get through right now, because it's obviously going to get very busy very quickly, write the number down and call tomorrow or something. But in the meantime, pick up the phone right now and see if you can get through. I'm getting rave reviews on the book. As a matter of fact, one night when we have time, hell, maybe even tonight, we'll open the line for people who have read the book and would like to give their own reviews. I'm not afraid to do that at all. Open line straight ahead, east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, this is Vince calling from just outside Chicago.
Hi, Vince.
You know, you had a little teaser last night on the program. You said that you had spoken to Richard Hoagland.
I talked to him again today.
You know, I'd like to say that I think Richard is one of the most interesting and intelligent people in America today. And, you know, sometimes when he talks on this program, it's just the drama is just so intense and intriguing. It's you can cut it with a knife.
I almost wish you wouldn't mention that, because what he's got going on right now, let's see, what could I tell you? I can't tell you much about it. I can tell you that we are talking, you know, I guess you've heard the news about this scientist who years ago said that cometary material is consistently piling into the Earth,
right.
Adding like an inch of water every so often. I mean, serious amounts of cometary material. That scientist, whose name I just can't recall this moment, may be coming on toward the end of the week. We don't know yet. Then there's a thing about Egypt, and you're right, it's a teaser, because this is so serious, what we've got going with Egypt, that if the information is correct, and I have the person on that I think I'm going to have on, and he's going to say what he's going to say, I may have to stay on the boat when I get to Egypt.
You know, Art, I have a feeling inside me, you know, some sort of vibration that Richard is really onto something.
I know it.
Yeah, I just feel it in my soul that Richard is really, really onto something. And I just always await, you know, what's coming out of, you know, his research and his scientific study.
So do I. And thank you very much for the call from Chicago. Yeah, Richard is an intriguing individual. Sometimes I know he frustrates the audience because of the way he tells stories. And so I sort of grab him vocally by the lapels and shake him, and he spits it out. But he's a good friend. We talked earlier in the day, and what he's working on right now, the implications of what he's working on right now. You guys know me. I'll do anything. But this one stretches even my, how can I put this, a willingness to stick my neck out. But I'm willing. I mean, what the hell? You only live once, right, folks? You only live once, and either do it your way or you probably ought not be doing it. So if this goes ahead as it looks like it will, you're gonna hear, it won't be for a couple of weeks regarding Egypt. There are some legal matters to clear up. And if it's as serious as I think it is, I probably can't get off the boat in Egypt, you know? This is from the Bay Area, and it says, retaliation to McVeigh verdict, ? Officials say the attack on a utility transformer in Redwood City just might be a reaction to the Timothy McVeigh verdict. About 55 shots from a high-powered rifle riddled the PG&E substation today, cutting power to about 2,000 people. San Mateo County Sheriff's deputies found a Confederate flag and a newspaper article about the McVeigh verdict. Well, that's suggestive, huh? The flag was attached to a nearby fence, and the newspaper bearing the headline, McVeigh Guilty, placed under a rock. McVeigh was convicted yesterday, when this was written, of murder, and conspiracy, and the 95 bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City killed 168. On our international line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Art?
Yes, it is. Where are you?
I'm so different.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to try and clear that line up a little bit. Okay, are you...
I have two radios to turn off. It's a witch. You want to talk to me?
You're a witch?
Well, sort of.
Well, what do you mean, sort of, now?
Well, I'm a psychic energy worker, and I change realities for people often.
A psychic energy worker who changes reality for people.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a loose definition of a witch.
Yeah, it was pretty loose, but I thought, sounds like Art needs help.
Where, pray tell, are you?
I'm in West Vancouver.
West Vancouver. West Vancouver. So you're not...
I talked to you actually last week.
You're not an American witch. You're
no.
a Canadian witch.
I am.
Uh-huh.
I was... Yeah.
How... All right, let's explore this. How are you able to change reality for people?
Well, I work with energy. And first I look at the energy. And then... just help them shift it. I have lots of help. I bring in lots of kind of angelic types.
Angelic types?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you are...
physical entities.
Now, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Angelic. That sounds like you're talking about a white witch. And by that, I don't mean your skin color. I mean your practice of the art. In other words, you practice the good stuff.
Well, I don't look at it that way. I think it's just all the reality. And
yeah, but I know, but there's like witches who say, I work with light and energy. And
well, I won't do anything that's not in alignment with the plan, the divine plan. I kind of go by that.
The divine plan.
Yeah, that's what I think of it or how I see it.
So in other words, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you wanted a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you do something and get that boyfriend?
I've never had that problem.
bear with me here. The spirit of the question.
Okay.
In other words,
you could do it, but I don't know.
You
get a feel for when something is right to do and when it's not, and I just do it when it feels right.
All right.
I am a white witch in that way.
All right. Then let me try.
It has to feel right in my soul.
I understand. All right. Well, then let me try another question.
Okay.
Let's say even witches have to go to the grocery store and shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go to the grocery store, and the bag boy is helping you out with the bags, and he suddenly cops an attitude and takes your shopping bag and throws it on the ground and says something awful to you. Now, could you give him a corn on his foot if you wanted to?
I'm sure I could, but I would never do that. I would.
Why not?
I'm very compassionate. I would just kind of love him and make a joke or something and just change his mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's more like that. It's like changing the atmosphere. If something's weird going on, you change the atmosphere, and then everything changes.
Well, you're not exactly what I'm looking for.
No, I don't
for.
Think I'm exactly what you want, but I had to just offer my service.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you've called, and I guess the bag boys are safe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my dear, thank you.
All right, thank you. I love you very much.
Take care. That's a witch of sorts from Canada. Interesting. Look. Damn it. I want a broom-riding, spell-casting, magic-wielding, cauldron-stirring witch. Am I clear about this? No white light. I'm looking for one of the ones that gets buried under a house. You know what I'm looking for.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
I found the facts from Bryn Marie in San Francisco. Up all night with Art Bell, says. All right, she says. Your gracious disclaimer will protect you from the usual onslaught of paganism that follows such requests. But just barely. Mutter, mutter, mutter. And in fact, here's some contact information for a genuine, she spells that G-E-N-Y-O-U-W-Y-N-E, witch, genuine witch. She names the lady, and I won't hear, who's been practicing witchcraft for 40 years and is media friendly. All right, Bryn, I will say that, and I will see, we'll see. And then I've got this. Art, are you truly looking for a witch? I am at your service. Not interested in any form of notoriety or airtime. However, I can give you some background and maybe put to rest any form of questions you may have. He supplies a number. And I suspect he is the real thing. It's a witch. And then this from Alabama. Art, I can't believe my ears. Just before the end of the first hour, I thought I heard a voice say, television is so cool. Yes, it is. It couldn't have been the voice of Art Bell, who time and again has voiced his absolute detestment of television. You're absolutely correct, Ron, in Birmingham, Alabama. I did say that, but what I meant by that was what I'm doing right now. This little thing that snaps a photograph every 30 seconds while I'm doing my program, that's fine. But let me tell you what I'm doing. Okay? I'm not doing any more television, except for this kind. No more TV interviews, no more networks, no more serial shows, no more television of any kind, and no more newspaper interviews. You think I'm kidding? You just go, you watch. No more newspaper interviews, no more television, that's it, I'm done. Except for, you know, this is something entirely different, Ron. This is what I was talking about, what we're doing here on the air right now. This is different. And, by the way, I wonder how many of you, I wonder if everything was running all right. You might send me a fax and let me know if you were able to see Ramona during one of the breaks. We had her come in. Now, this is cool. When I said television is cool, I know it sounded weird, but I meant this, what we're doing here, which is, to me, an interconnectivity with the radio program that we're doing, and an adjunct to the radio program. And probably a lot of people don't even know what the hell I'm talking about right now. On my website, if you go to my website, you can click on, you'll see in the newest items, live webcam. And when you click on that, you will get a high quality, or very high quality, the highest I've ever seen for this kind of a system, photograph of me doing whatever I'm doing, or whatever it is that's going on in the studio during the show. Now, when the hours are up that we're not doing the program, whatever was the last photograph taken of me is going to be what's running the rest of the day. But while we're on the program live, this new system, bless Keith's heart, that he has found that we are using, will be up and running. And this kind of TV I love because it is a direct connection to you guys who are listening to me. But as far as letting these people come in with cameras anymore, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I have now sworn it off. Never again. And I don't like television. You're exactly right. I don't like television. And when I say that, I mean produced television, where they come in and do 2 hours of video and end up with 3 minutes of video that that they run wherever for whatever and all the rest of it. That's it. I'm done. I'm on the radio. That's my medium. A television, I watch it, but I'm not going to be on it anymore, except for this kind of thing. But this has to do with the program. It's entirely different. Television networks and shows, no more. No more. Newspaper interviews, there I won't say forever, but for a long time, I'm not going to do them. I've stopped. There's too much going on in my life. If people want to know what I have to say, they can listen to my radio program. And if somebody wants to write a nasty newspaper article about me, which I'm used to, by the way, no problem. I'll respond on the air. But I'm not going to do any more. So there you have it. Finney, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, that would be me, and you need to turn your radio off.
Okay. I just wanted to hypothesize, theorize, and proselytize a little bit here.
About what? He's gone. I guess he didn't know what he wanted to talk about. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Arlene in Lakewood.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, and I hope you will be too. And if you recall, last winter you opened a package that had a curse on it or something, and you had all kinds of trouble.
I'll tell you what it was. It was a doll that had. That really is a very interesting story. It was a genuine article, a doll that had been in a fire and had a curse on it.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it nice of some listener to send me a doll with a curse on it? It really ticked me off. And this was an old doll, too. And I believe that it was real. And you could see the doll was singed. Again, all right, now you've caused another reason for me to call my wife in. So, hon, if you're out there, this is the most I've had her in the studio, I think, since I've ever done the program. She will tell you what she did with the doll.
And why is it that the wife always has to come in here and say, you know, talk about the things that are unpleasant or the things that are nasty? Reminds me of the days when I used to be a talk show host. Well, this is Ramona Bell, and I'm here to tell you the story of the cursed doll. Interesting enough, we received this package about, 2 or 3 months ago. And I open it up, and here comes the letter. And this very raggedy-looking but still intact doll. And the letter says, Dear Art, this doll I am sending to you because I don't know what to do with it. It was salvaged from an attic. This person wanted to sell old toys, so he found all these old dolls and things in his attic, in the attic of a house that he owned. And among these things, he found a little ditty about this doll that said that this doll was involved in a fire. Anyone who was in possession of this doll was involved in a fire. Its owners or previous owners have had problems and complications, and, you know, he wanted nothing to do with this. So rather than dispose of it in a manner that would be appropriate for such an item, he sends it to us. And the moment I started reading that this was a cursed doll, I do know, and Art may or may not have told you this, but I do know a little bit about magic. I'm a water witch, which means that I know how to douse, and I have been able to find water by dousing and proved it to Mr. Skeptical here. The same goes for cursed items. What I had done was the doll was wrapped in plastic, and it was in a box. So I took what amounted to, I'd say, 12 ounces of just plain old table salt, and I put the doll in another bag, and then I took the table salt, and I sprinkled it all around, all inside of the bag with the doll, sealed it back up, and took it to its final resting area, which is now probably the city dump here. And that's basically how we got rid of it. And I will tell you right now that for anyone who wants to send another cursed item, don't bother, because we have enough problems as things go. And in a moment, my happy hubby will be back. So until then, stay tuned.
Okay, now you've got the story of the doll told by the person who handled it, not me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Steve in South Central Indiana.
Hello, Steve.
I just got web TV, and it's quite an amazing device. I went to your website, and I must say that it's one of the best that I've seen.
Ah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and I especially like the picture of you with the long hair.
Well,
I thought that was really cool.
Hey, listen, I've been around for a while. You know, I'm going to be 52 next month. This month, on the 17th of this month. And so, yeah, there were days when I had long hair.
Uh-huh.
And you saw me sitting there on a stack of hay or something?
Right.
Yeah, that's when I had horses.
What was the circa on that picture?
That will provoke some serious thought. We're talking 22 or 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Now you're starting to depress me.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
Hey, are you able, you've got web TV, right?
Right.
Are you able to see our live studio cam?
Yes, I can, but unfortunately I'm not home right now. I'm at work now, so. But, also, I'm glad to hear that you don't have your cats declawed.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Just the front, not the back. Trust me, they can do enough damage with those back claws.
Uh-huh.
Well, in fact, we could demonstrate the damage done moments ago.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't, you know, I have a cat and I don't have the claw. I just really don't agree with it. I think that, you know, I think it's kind of cruel, really.
Oh, no, I say yank them. Yank them out, one at a time, without anesthetic.
Uh-huh. Well,
I'm just kidding.
Okay, just one more thing.
Yes?
Are you still on AOL, or you not having any
problems? I know I am on AOL, and it looks as though we have reached some sort of agreement.
Okay. I was wondering if you could give your email address.
Well, sure. It's artbell@AOL.com. That's, you know, all lowercase, ARTBELL at AOL.com.
Dot AOL?
No, not dot AOL. It's artbell at AOL.com.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much,
Thank
Art.
You very much. This one says, hey, Art, great to hear you so clearly. It's been a drag listening to your show on the skip from North Carolina and Chicago and San Antonio. Now you're locally on WWNZ. How about opening a line to your fans here in Orlando? You may even find out the coverage area for WWNZ. That's true. Tim in Orlando. Well, you know, yeah, I could do that. As a matter of fact, I've got not just one new affiliate tonight, but two. So I could open my lines to my two new affiliates, if I could find them. When Comet launched off my wife's chest earlier, everything in here went flying, so I will see what I can do. All right, here we go. Sure, I can do that with the East of the Rockies line. So beginning after the news, I will restrict my East of the Rockies line to people who are listening. Oh, no, this isn't going to work. Not Albany, New York. This is Albany, Oregon. All right, well, one at a time then. I'll restrict first to Orlando. They're the biggie, 50,000 watts in Orlando, Florida. So I will restrict the line in about 10 minutes, or after the news, that is, to people listening to WWNZ 740 in Orlando, Florida. How's that? Sure, I'll do that. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Mike calling from Maui, Hawaii.
Hello. Oh, Maui.
Yeah.
Beautiful island.
It's home. Want to tell you, I enjoyed the program you had, I guess, a couple months ago about the guy who wrote the Obaki files.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. And being a resident here for coming up on 15 years, I can tell you the few things go on around here that does raise chicken skin, I'll tell you.
There's no question. Hawaii is a very mystical place. My wife is from, was born, actually, on Hawaii, at Ewa Beach in Hawaii. And she was just on the screen. If you've got a computer, you would have seen her.
I got a quick ghost story for you, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, fire away. Is it a Hawaiian ghost?
It's Hawaiian.
Story?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Fire away.
A few years ago, my wife and I went to Kauai, and we stayed at a hotel which did not survive Iniki. that was the hurricane.
Right.
And just to make it short, we're in bed sometime after 11, finished watching the band downstairs, enjoyed that, ate, went up to bed, start to slumber away, and pretty soon I get in the chicken skin, and I open my eyes, and there's something probably 6 or 7 feet.
Wait. A lot of people don't know what chicken skin is.
Oh, when you get that, the goosebumps?
That's the Hawaiian way of saying goosebumps, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so continue.
Okay, so something's up, and I open my eyes, and I see something 6 or 7 feet tall standing at the end of the bed. My impression is it was something human-shaped, kind of glowing. It scared me so bad I couldn't move, you know, get that totally petrified. You can't move. Closing your eyes is the only muscle that'll work.
Yes.
So I close my eyes and
I understand that.
Sleep and
excuse me?
I closed my eyes and hopefully went to sleep not too long after
now,
that.
Now, see, I have a very hard time buying that part. Closing your eyes, sure, it's like pulling the covers over your head. I understand that.
Well,
but how could you possibly go to sleep?
Okay, I was so terrified that I closed my eyes, and all I know is the next thing I woke up, and it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I had to go to the bathroom. Now, I don't want to freak out and say too many weird things, but my impression was it looked like what I would think an alien would look like. Okay, we'll leave that at that. I didn't tell my wife or ask her about it till the next day when we were on Oahu.
Yeah.
And I said to her, Dave, you know, last night I think I saw something in our room. Oh, I'm getting chicken skin right now. Oh,
I know.
She said, I didn't want to tell you, but there was about a 7-foot-tall Hawaiian pissed off that came in through our window and stood at the end of our bed. And I'm like,
oh, man.
And I'm like, oh.
Are you serious?
Hey, no kidding. Oh, no kidding. That morning when we went to check out.
Is your wife there?
My wife is in the other room, and she's almost pure Hawaiian.
Well, is she willing to come to the telephone and substantiate your story?
Actually, she's a very devout Mormon and won't even listen to your radio show.
Really?
Really. She.
I do. There are people like that. I mean,
yeah.
They really are. They write to me. They must listen because they write to me to tell me they don't listen.
Well, you know, she has her views. She thinks I'm wasting my time listening. But
might be.
And no, I'm not. But anyway, we go to the front desk, and we said, as we're checking out,
Now, wait a minute.
No,
why would a devout Mormon say pissed off Hawaiian?
Why would a devout Mormon
say pissed off Hawaiian? A devout Mormon would probably say very angry Hawaiian.
Well, perhaps not that exact choice of words.
I see. All right. You may be substituting.
But needless to say, she said that it was not happy and was right there. And
that I could understand.
She could deal with it. I couldn't.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't either.
When we were checking out the next morning.
Yes.
And I walked over to the front desk at the other end, and I said, you know what? We had a ghost in our room last night, and it kind of blew me away. And the person just looked at me and said, Soul, we get those all the time. And I'm like, okay.
You mean like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. I was like, all right, okay.
They probably thought you were trying the old fly in the soup deal to get your money back.
Well, the wife was paying right then, so that wasn't happening. So that's just a little ghost story because I really enjoyed when you heard it. I mean, pardon me, when you said the Obaki files that one time, and I tried to call in that night to.
Why do you think that Hawaii is such a mystical place? I probably ought to have my wife in here answering that too. But I mean, it is a good question. Why do you think Hawaii, particularly, is such a place of mystical occurrences?
Well, probably because it's, well, I don't know if the word ley lines, you know, or anything like that, energy lines or whatever. A lot seems to go past here. Since we're in the middle of nowhere, where else is it going to go? We're in the middle of the ocean, I guess.
So in other words, if ghosts are generally distributed about the world and they favor land, you're the only land for a long way.
Well, you know, I don't know how much fun a human being ghost would have, you know, floating around out there in the water, no other human contact. I guess maybe cruise boats, they can go freak out.
A few dolphins to haunt, not much else.
Oh, dolphins probably just laugh and go, eh, we already knew.
Yeah, they probably do. All right, well, hey, I really appreciate that. And how's Maui? It's your usual paradise self?
Well, you know the old bumper sticker about Maui. And real fast, for all of those across America, this is the Birdman of Maui.
All right. Thank you, and we will be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
Welcome to the program, those of you who join at this hour. Anything is possible tonight, anything at all. Who knows? But then again, that's kind of the way I like it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
This may explain a lot. WWNZ 740 Orlando is the sister station of WHNZ AM 570 in Tampa. Aha! 740, 570. Boy, they do sound similar. No wonder there's so much confusion. Okay. Thank you very much. That clears that up for me. They do have very similar call signs. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, my name is Walter from Mount Rainier, Washington.
Yes, Walter.
I was calling to say... this might sound, I don't know if you call it a witch or not, but I seriously believe I channeled the Holy Spirit.
No, that's not witchcraft.
Oh, okay.
Channeling the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't think would be channeled. The Holy Spirit, if it wanted to be heard, wouldn't need to be channeled.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We can all do it.
Secondly, I don't buy this channeling thing.
Okay, well, you don't think that that other people, like, is the Pope supposed to be able to do that?
I don't think he calls it channeling.
Well, it amounts to the same thing, though, right? What you hear me say is actually a product of the Holy Spirit, no matter what I say.
Well, in the sense that we're all connected like that, yeah.
Okay. Well, one other thing I'd like to ask about.
All right.
I've posed this question to the talk shows up here. If we were, say the spaceships did land here and gave us a real super conveniences, free energy and this and that, well, we'd all be free. We'd all have free energy. We could grow our own food. But still, I've asked people, how would we divvy up the land on this planet? I mean, if they gave us all this and told us, you guys are foolish not to be self-sufficient, each one of you now, everything's free, here you go, this will end your crime and your famine and all this. I mean, we could do that right now with our government, you know, but all over the world, just it's a terrible joke. But I wonder, you know, what would happen when they did land here and gave us that. We wouldn't divide the land up anyway, would we?
It is indeed a very good question, and I don't have the answer, but I sure would invite anybody in the audience to answer it. How about that?
Okay, yeah, one other thing, Art. If you believe in this, about the Holy Spirit deal, if you want to hear some noise, or if your listeners hear any noises, or their animals start acting funny, this is for everybody. I believe that the Holy Spirit can do that. So see if anybody hears any noises, including you.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Here's somebody. Art, I am both watching you and listening to you on my Macintosh from the floor of my darkened kitchen. I recognize the significance of what you're doing tonight and have set up my sleeping bag to watch and listen for as long as I can stay awake here in Marin County. Really? I have a full mailbox on AOL right now. Yeah, I bet I do. Sorry about that, folks. I'll try and get it cleared out. There are hundreds of messages in there. What I did was ask for a response to our cam, and it just went absolutely... the response was much larger than I thought it was going to be, and so I don't know how the hell I'm going to get through it. I don't know. Anyway, I've been trying, every time I hold up a copy of my book, I'm doing it again here, everybody rushes over to get a look at it, and it freezes, so I've been holding it up a couple of times. I've been getting a lot of messages saying, well, it's freezing. Every time you say that, everybody runs over there and it freezes, you know, when so many people are jumping on the server at once. What you can do is go to www.artbell.com, which is my website, and you'll see the live studio cam thing there, and you punch that up and you'll see a photograph of me probably doing something, hopefully nothing terrible. If you would like to order an autographed copy of The Quickening, they're going fast. The second printing, I'm advised by my publisher, is going like crazy, and so if you want a copy, you should try and get through. The autographed copies are only going to be for a little while longer. It's kind of good in a way that I get a break between printings, because that's a lot of signing, you know? That's a lot of signing. So if you want an autographed copy, I'm trying to provide them, but that day is going to end. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Mike in Leesburg, Florida. I'm just about 30 miles north, and I heard the new station.
Oh, you did, huh?
I got it on two stations now.
You have it there in Leesburg.
Yes, at WQBQ 1410.
And?
And the new one, which I believe is, what, 1050?
WWNZ 740.
740? Well, then I've got three.
Well, that's cool.
I don't know if anybody called this in, but this is in just outside of Orlando, but in Orange County, which is the same county that Orlando's in. I think we have a goat sucker over here.
The chupacabra.
Yes.
The chupacabra.
It was in the paper 2 days ago.
You're kidding.
No, not at all. In Ocoee, Florida, there were three horses mauled, one killed.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to say it was either a bear or a cougar, and they can't figure out what it was.
Well, that's what that's what they always say.
Exactly, but they can't. They said that none of the things that had happened match up with either one.
Well,
it came up. One of them
was look. Were there any marks on the necks of the animals?
Exactly. That's what I was
about to say. Oh, that's bad. Very bad. Very bad.
About a 4-inch deep wound.
Oh my God.
On the neck of one, from the front underneath, and then the other two are expected to survive. Were attacked on the from the neck to the belly.
Wow. Wow, I say again. And then
I've been very tempted to call a Game and Fish Commission and let them know about your show.
There is one other very important question. Was there blood missing?
They were pretty much drained.
Drained of blood? We're talking chupacabra
here. Well, the two that are going to live, they apparently didn't get
all the blood.
They just got spooked first.
That's disgusting, sir, but I really appreciate the report. Thank you.
Some people say they have seen the chupacabra. After some tequila, he was dancing the lambada. We don't know where he has come from, making all the Mexicanos looking like a dum-dum. They say that he's a monkey. I think the whole story's just a little monkey.
There's a bunny-eyed creature that we call the chupacabra. 4 feet tall like a mutant chihuahua. In Mexico City, Puerto Rico, Nicaragua. Hey, chupacabra. Hay un criatura que se llama chupacabra. Es muy feo como chile y papa mama. Queremos pasar a algunas paparadas. Oh,
oh, that's just fine. You guys keep dumping that that toxic waste. Just keep putting it in the rivers. Maybe. Maybe. Not so funny if you meet up on one of these things in the middle of the night. Chupacabras in Florida. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Kane from Minneapolis.
Yes, sir.
You've been looking for a witch?
Yes.
I am a witch.
What kind of witch are you? Well, first of all, you're the kind of witch who's going to have to turn off his radio. So I'll await that.
Okay.
Got it off?
Yes.
Okay. You should have been able to just will it off if you were a really good witch.
That's what my student's for.
I'm sorry?
That's what my student's for.
Ha, 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 ha. What kind of witch are you?
Well, I am an Asia True Witch. I practice both kinds of magic.
You're an AC/DC witch. In other words, you practice white and black magic?
Yep, I'm a gray.
A gray? A gray? You're a gray?
Yep.
Well, I've never talked to anybody of your particular persuasion before. How much onto the darks? I mean, I hear all the time about the light side. How much on the dark side do you tread?
Well, I tread where depends on what you mean by that, like how much you want to know about it, or.
Well, let's hear. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so you tell me. I asked you about the dark side. What have you got to say?
Well, there's many kinds of dark side. There's chaos.
Yes.
There's this general blackness. Pure evil.
Pure evil.
Working with the darker deities.
Let me try this question. What could you do to a person if you wanted to?
Well, that can go from being sick to, beyond that. You can give them bad luck. You can make them do things that they don't
want to do.
That they will normally not do.
It is said that if you do this to a person, this will come back at you at, you know, threefold or whatever?
Sometimes. Depends upon the circumstances.
So there are ways to do it without it coming back on you?
Right.
Now, a lot of people would take issue with that. They would say, no, it's a karmic law of nature. And if you dispense some sort of evil something upon somebody, as an absolute law of nature, it will come back to you.
Yes, but what happens if that person does something to you first? And say someone breaks into your home, kills a family member. Then you retaliate, the universe might just turn the back on it and says, it happened, yeah, but...
In other words, the universe, or karmically, it would be regarded as justice.
Yep. Eye for an eye.
Eye for an eye. That's an interesting view. I never have heard it expressed that way with regard to witchcraft. Huh. How long have you been doing this?
Oh, for about 5 years.
Does it scare you?
Not really, not anymore. At first it did.
Do you control it, or has it ever controlled you?
Actually, it never controls you. You never master it either.
Well, doesn't that leave you in, excuse the pun, sort of a gray area?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But we also work with, like, the land and the fairies and the elementals.
Elementals?
Yes.
What is an elemental?
Like, the salamanders of the south are fire.
Uh-huh.
Wind of the east, water of the west, and mountains of the north. Of course, down in Las Vegas, wouldn't it be mountains all around?
There are mountains all about, yes.
What
would that mean?
Nothing. It just... You get, it's just, you know, like you got the mountains all around, you got more of a focal point.
Uh-huh.
A few times I've been down there.
So what does that mean? That Las Vegas would be an easier...
It's just a, ooh.
I'm sorry?
It's just kind of a town where it just gives you the shivers at times.
What? Yes, it does that. All right, thank you very much for the call. A male witch, wow. The elementals, huh? And even a witch is given the shivers by Las Vegas, eh?
Hmm.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, this is Samantha, listening at KKOB from New Mexico, but I'm in Hayden, Arizona.
And your name is Samantha?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a witch?
No.
With a name like that, you ought to be, darn it.
No, I'm calling in because of that chupacabra mentioning over there in Florida.
Yes, that sounded actually fairly serious, didn't
it? Yeah. My husband, in May, the 1st of May, was accidentally just flipping the channels on our Prime Star to the channel Univision.
Yes.
You know, the Mexican channel.
Yeah, oh yes, uh-huh.
And there was a little story about that the University of Mexico caught one, and they're studying it, and they've had it for the last 6 months.
Really?
And I was wondering if anyone else has heard about this.
The University of New Mexico?
Of Mexico.
Mexico. Not New Mexico, but
not
Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah, Mexico.
Oh.
And he heard it, and he called me in. Of course, I don't understand Spanish. You know, and he was ill.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, I hear a little bit of an accent there, a Spanish accent.
Well, I've lived in this town forever. It's highly Mexican.
So, in other words, you picked up an accent without picking up Spanish.
Well, I know the bad words.
You know the words? Oh, Samantha. Do you know any good words? No, don't say them, because I don't know any words, and I wouldn't know the difference, and it could be that you would say a bad word, and I wouldn't know it. But actually, you do have an accent.
Oh.
That's very interesting, and it's just from being so close to so many, huh?
Yeah, I grew up here.
Let me hear you say chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
Oh, you've got it down. I'll tell you something. The people of Mexico... we can sit up here and chuckle about it,
mm-hmm.
but they don't laugh down there.
No, I know.
This is a very, very serious... The American people have no idea how serious a topic this is in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because there's been really a lot going on. We've only had a small taste of it here compared to what they've had.
Yeah.
And so if the University of Mexico has one, how do I find out about it?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like, I'm sure I couldn't call them up and ask them, could I?
It was a news item, and the point of the news item was painted in the fact of letting people calm down and the fact that they did have a specimen that supposedly came actually from the States, that it was an illegal
really?
That caught it, and they had it literally on the truck shipped back with them.
Whoa.
And they took it over to the University of Mexico, and it was sort of like, calm down, we have one, we're studying it now. and that was it.
Calm down?
Yeah, that was the
thing. I mean, now if they,
well,
that's not going to calm down people at all.
I know, it made us upset.
Not
so they
to,
have it, and they're not showing us the information.
Well, that verifies its existence.
Exactly.
So how do you feel when you're walking down a dark street at night?
Exactly.
Not as good as you did before that story.
Yeah, it's true. And we're like about 80, 90 miles from the border. And even over here, everybody talks, you know, about it. We've actually had a sighting.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin, actually. And he didn't know what it was. And he described it to me, and I was like,
How did he
might have seen one.
How did he describe it?
Well, at first he goes, did you see that? And we were going by in the car, and it was about 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, it looked like a huge rabbit. And I go, well, like how huge? He goes, like 4 feet tall.
Sounds like the one Jimmy Carter encountered.
Yeah, I remember that. And I go, well, what else did it look like? He said it had, like, cat eyes.
Oh.
And that's what scared me.
Were the eyes red?
That's what they reflected.
They were red?
Yes. And that's what scared me. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Red is bad.
I know.
That
scared me. And then, of course, later, that was in April. And then my husband saw that show. It was a news clip. On Univision.
Wow.
That was scary.
Well, look, I appreciate your call, and I will try what sources I have to see if we can determine if the University of Mexico really is holding a chupa.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
I don't know if it would be or not. Well, listen, anyway, Samantha, I like your name.
Oh, thanks.
One last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you wiggle your nose?
Yeah, I can, actually. Hey, can I ask you where I can pick you up easier? In Arizona?
Well, you listen to what? KOB in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah, and it's not very good.
All you can do is, like, go up and down the dial. You'll find us in various locations.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sort of mark those places. And if you have a radio with push buttons on it or memories, you know, kind of skip back and forth.
Okay.
That's my best advice.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you and take care. And as I said earlier, call a local talk station that you have. And it's the intelligent way to proceed. If you want to get the show on in your area, don't call a country station. Don't call a music station. They're not going to do it. Call a talk station. And you can always call our network for some assistance in trying to get on in your area. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
He left sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She'll turn her music on. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got better days aside. And she'll keep you. She'll unheat you. Her best cut just to please you. She's precocious. And she knows just what it takes to make a program.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
Again, I guess I better say, because they're beginning to, we're coming toward the end of the second printing, or it's roaring through it, so if you guys want an autographed copy of my book, you better get on it. It is The Quickening. And by the way, it is absolutely real. There has never been a more relevant book, in my opinion, written about what's going on around us and to us, where it's going, than this. It's actually entitled The Quickening, Today's Trends, Tomorrow's World. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Art Bell, this is John in Hawaii.
Hi, John.
I heard about HARP a while back.
Yes.
Changing the weather.
Yes.
Are they still playing that thing, making all this bad weather happen?
Well, look, first of all, nobody knows for sure if it's causing the bad weather. There are people who believe that the HARP project in Alaska, which is still going on, yes, is affecting the weather. I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't know if they've reached power levels that could begin affecting the weather. I just don't know. But in answer to your question, yes, the HARP project is continuing. And if you put that together with some of the images shown by CNN yesterday with regard to the El Nino forming out in the Pacific, it's pretty freaky.
Jeez, I think if they don't know what they're doing quite right, or they're targeting things on purpose to make more work for us, or what they're doing up there.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that HARP is having any effect on the weather at all. I can't say that I know that. What I can say that I think I know, and I do, is that our weather is in the process of a severe change that is part of the quickening. I don't really want to get in a terribly serious mood this morning, and this will do it for me. But I've said this on numerous occasions lately. One does not need to be a candidate for employment at NASA to know that our weather is changing. And I've been saying that for some time, and now finally everybody seems to be saying it. Suddenly, NASA's remarking about it. The National Weather Service is remarking about it. Stan Deo in Australia, well, you know what he's had to say about it. And on and on and on, a lot of mainstream media sources are now talking about the new hurricane season coming, going to be more vicious than ever. Vice President Gore began talking about more extreme weather. Be prepared for more extreme weather. You heard that, didn't you, from Vice President Gore? Well, Vice President Gore, in some ways, is not my favorite guy, but in other ways, he's a kind of a techno dweeb, and I have some level of appreciation for his technical expertise, and he does have quite a bit. You know, he really does. And he's right about that. I mean, so the weather is changing and quickening. Make no mistake, what I have written in this book is a process that is not predicted, it's not prophecy, it's something that I document, and it's going on right now. We're living in it right now. This is not something coming. Yes, it will continue to, at an exponential rate, I believe, increase. But make no mistake about it, the process has already begun. Back to the lines, east of the Rockies. You are on the air. Good morning.
Art Bell, hello.
Hello there. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing fantastic now that I'm talking to you.
Where are you?
I am in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yes. My name is Janine, and you said you were looking for witches.
Have I found a witch?
Yes.
An Oklahoma witch?
There are plenty of us.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
Actually, that begins to be a good question all by itself. How many witches are there really? I mean, not just in Oklahoma, but across the whole country.
There's really no way of knowing. There's so many different kinds of practices. It's kind of like asking a person if they're a Judeo-Christian. The guy that called earlier, I would say that there are hundreds of thousands, to be honest.
Really?
I really would.
All right, he talked about a gray area that he lives in, practicing some white and some black forms of witchcraft.
I'm what you would call a Pictish, which means that...
Boy, I wish we had a better phone connection. We got a terrible phone connection. You're
Hold
not...
on. Let me turn something off.
All right.
Is that better?
A little bit.
Okay. Anything to make it a little bit better for you, Art? I've been listening to you for 3 years and loved every minute of it. This is a great show.
Thank you.
Oh,
it's a
well...
different show. So anyway, explain if you can.
Yes.
Are you on a portable phone?
Yes.
Can that explains it. Do you have a real phone?
No, I don't.
You don't have a real phone?
No, I don't.
How far away from the base are you?
I'm right next to it now. Is that any better?
You know, it's still, I mean, it's here. We can hear you, but it's just that it sounds like you've got a lot of interesting stuff to say, and I would like it to be very clear. Anyway, let's get into it. What do you do?
Okay, Pictish, which means I practice some magic, but also there's a nature worship involved, which means I have observances of the moon, the four festivals, things like that, and also I'm a kitchen witch because I'm married and I have a child. And basically what I also practice solitary, which means that I don't belong to a coven.
A kitchen witch.
Right.
And that's just sort of an expression that means you're married and you have a child?
Oh, no. It works well if you're married and have a child. Basically, I use herbs and things like that to keep my family healthy. And I have my own herb garden. And that really works out quite well because I'm able to use the rhythms of nature, things like that, to my advantage.
Well, my wife does a lot of that, herbs and so forth and so on. But I'm not sure that qualifies one as a witch.
No, it doesn't, but you can use a lot of the knowledge that you find as a witch when you study and make your black book to for your everyday life. I mean, it's like any other religion. You can incorporate it into your daily life.
On the other hand, I'm not altogether sure I should qualify. I really mean this, too. I'm not altogether sure my wife is not a witch. I'm serious.
It's very natural for women to lean to witchcraft because you have to be attuned with your body. As well.
I'm sure her mother's having kittens because, you know, really she's supposed to be a Catholic.
Well, I was a Catholic, so...
You were a Catholic, huh?
It works really well, especially with the Virgin Mary. It's not
man.
That much of a leap.
Let's see what other kind of trouble we can get in this morning. It works well with the Virgin Mary. Witchcraft and the Virgin Mary.
Well, you know, you've heard of Santeria.
Oh, I certainly have. That's... A form, isn't Santeria almost a form, it's not quite voodoo, but it has some relationship, doesn't it, Santeria?
Well,
I mean, there's sacrifice and that sort of thing?
Voodoo calls the darker side in. Santeria focuses on the light.
On the lighter side?
Yes, it does.
But there are sacrifices, aren't there?
Yes, there are. There are sacrifices, but they never call the spirits to do harm. From what I've studied in Santeria. Most witches that I know also, I don't know if there's anything as a white witch or a black witch. I've heard that a lot, but most witches that I've met do not practice anything dark.
Well, that's right. Those who call themselves Wiccans,
mm-hmm.
would you classify yourself as separate from a Wiccan?
No, Wiccan, again, is kind of a generic term. You can call yourself Wiccan. There's a sect that is Wiccan that's specialized. But I could call myself Wiccan. It's to call myself a Pictish is to say kind of like, well, I'm Presbyterian. There's so many different forms that you can practice in Wiccan.
Are there LDS witches? Might as well cover the whole spectrum here.
Oh, I was calling because what the man said really piqued my interest when he was talking about justice in that sense. When I first heard him say that he practiced light and dark, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But it really piqued my interest because...
Mine, too, because I had always heard that anything evil or bad or dark done will come back to you by three or whatever in the world of witchcraft. However, if what you're doing is pursuing justice... That karmically, that might not be true.
Well, that's the thing. In my belief, people are not separated from nature, that we are a part of nature.
I believe that.
Right. So people can be instruments of justice. I was just, oh, I wish I could talk to him right now. I was trying to get through to see if I could talk to him.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to contact me, if you would, by fax and, you know, put a phone number on there or email and put a phone number on there
mm-hmm.
or something. And I will see what I can do. And in the meantime, do us all a favor and go out and buy a phone.
Well...
Because I would like to interview you more extensively, but that phone you've got, it should be put in a trash compactor.
When you have a small child, you need to have a cordless just to run around and catch them.
I understand. What you then need is you can go out to a swap meet and get just a good old-fashioned, regular old telephone. Remember one of the old ones with the push buttons?
Yeah.
That probably says property of the Bell system underneath it or something.
Right.
And get one of those. You plug it in and use it for when you're calling a radio show.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you, dear. I would like to... I wish we had a better connection. Actually, I've got one of those here. And you know where I bought it? I bought it at a swap meet. You know what it says on the back of it? Let me see. Actually, yep, it says Bell system property, not for sale. And they are some of the best phones in the whole world. Just the old-fashioned, and I'm not talking about the dial phones now. It's a touch-tone phone. But the good old heavy phones, you know, the kind of phone where if you're unhappy with somebody, you can crack them over the head and they're gone. When they're hit with a Bell system phone, one of the old ones, they're gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Okay.
Hey, geez, it's been 3 years since I talked to you last.
3 years?
Yeah, and you might remember it. We were talking about putting Newt Gingrich on Mount Rushmore. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, cool. Well,
why did that get a lot of people angry? I said, yeah, let's put Newt on Mount Rushmore. Chisel his face right in there. Maybe even take one of the other ones off if there's not enough space.
Hey, maybe you did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Cool. Well, I was in Reno then. I'm in Oroville now.
Oroville?
Oroville. Right by Chico.
I know where that is. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you used to have caller participation games, you know, like Truth or Trash. And.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that again one day.
What was that one? Didn't you have,
it's like... a lot of nights, though, you know, my show is like sort of a ongoing Truth or Trash.
Yes. Now.
But we will play the official game one of these nights.
Didn't you used to have like a fast forward or like a...
Fast blast.
Fast blast. Yeah, sure. You haven't had that in a long time.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Another thing. You know when you got these line open for the witches?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be cool if Stevie Nicks called you some night?
Beyond cool. Stevie, you did say Stevie Nicks, right?
Uh-huh.
She's one of my top ten.
Isn't she?
Maybe top five, actually.
I saw her in concert about, four years ago, and she's changed.
Really?
Yeah, she's not quite what she used to be.
Well, hey, are any of us?
But, I mean, she really changed. She's took on a whole different aura about her and a whole different style.
Really?
Yeah, kind of a real rough.
You know when I liked her best?
Let's see.
There was actually a video done, and the music.
Is it Tusk album? Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You remember Stevie doing this?
Uh huh.
That
was. They're in the desert, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, that was my Stevie Nicks.
Oh. Hey, you used to play a lot of Toto Africa.
That's right.
On your bump.
You're right.
I haven't heard that in a long time. Do you still have it?
You know, sure, I have everything. Let me see. Do I have that particular one?
You used to play it all the once in a while, but I haven't heard it in a long time. That is my most favorite band.
Is it?
Yeah, they are just...
You know what I'm thinking of doing is I'm sure glad you reminded me, because you know what? I want not just the little piece of Toto that I have, but I want the whole thing. I'm going to start playing the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I was going to ask you that, too, if you could play a little bit longer of it.
I absolutely can, and I absolutely will. How's that?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Art.
All right, my friend. Thank you. And hey, one more thing?
Yes.
3 years, that's too long. because I don't know that today I would have Newt chiseled in there. In fact, let's see, who would we put on there? Who's worthy of being put on there today?
Today.
Today, yeah. Newt Stock is down, you know.
Well, not with me.
Well, yeah, nationally it is, though.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's down in the 20s or something.
I don't think it ever was.
Even in the teens.
Think about that one.
So who would we put on Rushmore today if we had the opportunity?
Mitch Richmond of Sacramento Kings. If I had my choice.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Art.
See you later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. My name is Jaden, and I am a student of Kane.
A student of Kane?
A guy who called earlier. A little witch.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm his student.
And how much of a student are you?
A full student. What exactly do you mean by how much of a student? I mean.
Well, I mean, is that like, you know, I mean, would you equate yourself to one of Howard Stern's interns?
Howard Stern's interns? I'm not.
No, forget that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
In other words, somebody who is just learning or somebody who is fully capable of exercising the powers?
Well, I do consider myself capable, but I've really just begun to learn the knowledge part of it, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, what can you do? Give me an example.
I'm learning the runes, ancient Norse, but my primary religion is Greek. So I'm starting to learn the runes. I've done a little bit with weather magic.
Oh, so it's you.
Me.
You're screwing with our weather, huh?
Oh, no, that's not me.
Well, what exactly do you mean by weather magic?
Well, as far as my religion of ancient Greek, my patron is Zeus.
Yeah.
And he's the storm god or air god.
Yeah.
So,
there were some pretty nasty storms down in Texas here recently. Was that you?
No, I can't claim credit for that.
Good.
But
that was pretty awful.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if I concentrate properly, I can get the winds to blow. I'm not really very strong yet. Like I said, I'm just beginning.
Is there any possibility that the weather deterioration that we're all experiencing right now is the product of some studied master witch?
It's possible, but I'm really not sure. I mean, where exactly are you located right now?
Well, as Rush says, that makes no difference as long as I'm here, right?
Ah, yeah.
And I really don't, now that I've heard what you have to say, I don't think I want to tell you because probably tomorrow there'd be a tornado or something.
Oh, no, I don't think I'd do that. I'm not that bad.
Or you'd make the weather hot.
Actually, I try not to mess with the weather too much. I really haven't done that much weather magic lately.
The National Weather Service will be glad to hear that.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
I never, you know, that's the one thing I never thought about with regard to the weather was witches. I'll be a son of a gun.
Yeah.
Well, look, I appreciate your calling in and telling us this, and
okay.
Leave the weather alone. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in the same as Kane, Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yes.
How's the weather been in Minnesota?
You're cold, wet, hot, humid.
Well, leave those people alone, sir. Let's break it right here. That's Toto. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me toward salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melody. to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. As they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired June 3rd, 1997.
Now that's Toto. And that's real music. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell.
Now we take you back to the night of June 3rd, 1997. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Well, okay. This is kind of interesting. Art, the TV image of you on my computer is fantastic. I see this as a great step in the future of your show. How about when the technology gets better, callers from their computers can be seen in a portion of the screen? Oh, God, you know that could be done. It's the ultimate show for you. You can control everything. Then we set our VCRs to record the whole TV show like we do for radio. Can you move around more? Each image looks the same. My wife asks if you can take a little more clothes off with each picture. What? This is Jerry in Burbank. No, Jerry. No. P.S. Went to the L.A. screening of Paul David's Timothy Leary's Dead Tonight at Universal. It was great. It was packed, and there was only one hippie in the crowd. That was sad. I believe after meeting Paul that the severed head was faked. I also think he is responsible for the Roswell autopsy video. Ooh. All I can say is my wife works with his wife, and I've heard things. Yeah? Well, after what your wife asked for, Jerry, I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Art.
Yes, good morning.
I ordered that web TV last Wednesday.
Yes.
And it seems to be fantastic. It's exciting. Product I'm really excited about.
Have you got it yet?
I called them yesterday, and they promised me they'd ship it today.
Oh, okay.
Which is a week from last Wednesday, and, you know, they did the second, they offered that second day, so it's a little, you know, a little frustrating, but it's really, I'm really excited to get the product.
Well, you'll, what I want you to do is call me when you get it.
Right.
I've got the product, so I can tell you right now, you are going to fall in love.
Oh, I know, and I've been hearing, that's what I'm saying, I've been hearing you talk about it, so I'm, you know, I'm really excited to get it, so. Thanks for offering it to us out there.
Sure.
Okay, you're...
Yep, thank you very much. Sure. Look, I'm telling you, not everybody in the world is a computer whiz. I mean, that's all there is to it. They're not everybody is a computer whiz and is ever going to be until the very nature of computers change. Now, I have worked hard, and I really mean I've worked hard for a couple of years learning the IBM system, first with Windows 3.1 and now with stinking Windows 95, and DOS, and learned what I can about programming, and, you know, I'm new. And I still struggle and have a love-hate relationship with my computers. So I do understand that not everybody out there wants to venture into this. I mean, it's a fairly serious thing to begin to get into, and yet the World Wide Web is extremely enticing, and I can understand you would want to be on the World Wide Web. You should be. Web TV gives that opportunity. Boom, and you're on. That's it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to get on. You press one button, and away you go. So, I mean, there's a tiny learning curve. You have to learn to enter a website that you want to go to, and then you can put it in your favorites list, and then all you have to do is click on that, and boy, away you go. But Web TV has a definite big place in the marketplace of technology. I recognize that. Even though I like my computers, I firmly recognize that Web TV has a place. Because I don't blame you. A lot of people are intimidated by computers. And this will get you on the web, just like that. East of the Rockies, in good style, too. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art. It's Paul in Philadelphia.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, great show.
Thank you.
I never got to compliment you on the Sarah McClendon interview.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was really good. And
I should have her back on. She is such a neat person.
Yeah, and I was just, you know, hoping to get through. I always miss you, missed the last hour here and everything, so just tried to get through and wanted to say hello, and nothing like looking for a witch to divert the mind and have a pleasant evening and
that's
whatever.
That's a fact. Everybody needs a little bit of that. I'm definitely one of those. Thank you. He's right. Every now and then, I just will take off and do something utterly different, as you can tell. I probably always will do that. Aloha, Art. Great clarity and really good refresh rates on your studio cam. Would you mind holding up color bars so I can adjust my monitor? I don't have any color bars handy. I used to have some color bars. I don't have them right now. Let's see, I don't have anything that would really serve as color bars. You can go by my T-shirt. You see that T-shirt there? You see where it says Helsinki, Finland, and see the red in the middle? That color is red. If you're seeing red and then kind of orange on the very edge of it, then I would say you're okay. Those are not exactly color bars, but that's the best I can do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I'm calling from Florida.
Where in Florida are you?
I am in Fort Myers.
Fort Myers?
Yes, I'm in my big truck.
In your big truck in Fort Myers?
Yeah, I'm an owner-operator, and I listen to your show all the time.
I pick you up
on several stations down here.
Are you able to hear us on WWNZ?
It's not real good, but 570 out of Tampa and 1110 is coming in wall-to-wall.
I guess it depends on where you are, huh?
Exactly, Art. Art, one thing I want to bring up quick to you about the weather changes.
Oh, yes.
On these high cube trailers we pull them when they're empty. Boy, tell people not to get around us. These winds are kicking up, these thunderstorms.
Yes, sir.
And, boy, it blows them things all over the road.
It's very dangerous, I know.
Very dangerous.
And it's a lot more dangerous when you're running empty.
A lot more. And that's especially when you're empty. When you're full, it's not so bad. But when they're empty, them things are a handful when the wind, especially when you're close to the coast, you come to the bridges and the openings.
I hear you.
Love the show.
Thank you, my friend. I bet he's right. Did anybody happen to see the clip on CNN last night of the police chase? My God, that speeds of up to 150 miles an hour. And this guy was in a black car of some kind. And he passed one of the trucks like that guy you just heard was driving. And then there was another one up ahead. And something put this guy into a skid. And he went sideways and plowed into the back of this other semi, probably doing 100 miles an hour. And the car was totally demolished. But incredibly. This guy was thrown out of the car and came away with a few scratches and bruises. You could actually see his body thrown from the car. It was the most amazing piece of video. I bet a lot of you got to see it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi, where are you?
This is Tim in Orlando.
Tim in Orlando.
Yeah, I sent you the facts.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So your hearing is loud and clear, I take it.
Absolutely. Sounds great. It's a lot better than listening to the skip like everybody's been saying.
How do you feature that the people of Orlando will accept the weirdness that we do at night?
Well, we accept Mickey Mouse pretty good. I guess we could take you for sure.
Actually, it's strange that you should mention Mickey Mouse in this program in the same breath.
Because, we like the rodent down here pretty well.
Well, we are actually on a lot of Mickey's stations now. As you must know, Disney has purchased a whole bunch of radio, and we're on a lot of them.
That's right. ABC, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, great.
ABC, you've got it.
Listen, I got something to ask you about, and that is that the guy mentioned about Ocoee, Florida, and the Chupacabra earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Another odd thing about Ocoee, Florida, is that there's a guy over there that has a copy of a picture that's on your webpage that was that's supposedly from Roswell of a UFO and a chopper chasing it.
Oh, I've got that photograph up on the website now. It is an absolutely astounding photograph.
Right. But this guy says, and I've seen the original picture, he's got it over at his shop, the original picture, and it's from Eglin Air Force Base.
If anybody can get me, if he can have a copy made and send it to me, I would love the scan and get it up on the web.
Okay, well, it's exactly the same thing what you have on the web. I mean, it's exactly the same.
Yes, but you the implication was it was a Mike shot. It's a very clear shot. Is it as clear or is it even better?
I mean, it looks exactly the same except that his is a photo, you know, a printed photo.
Maybe it's a generation or so earlier. If so, I'd love to have a copy.
Okay, well, it looks exactly like the one on your website, except that the pine trees don't look like Roswell pine trees. They're from Eglin Air Force Base up in the Panhandle.
I would really like to see that.
Okay, we'll see what I can do about it.
All right, my friend, thank
you.
Good
talking to you.
Take care. That sounds like a similar shot, but if the foliage is different, then obviously taken at a different place. Wow. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, I heard. I just wanted to talk about anything, you know.
Anything?
Anything, yeah. No, actually, I wanted to talk to you about whether you received my song parody. I sent you around Christmas, Walking in a Paranormal Land.
I think that I do have it, yes.
Okay. All right, well, you can have it. It's yours.
Well, thank you. I have a lot of them because many people send me things.
Right.
And so there's sort of a whole bunch of things for me to listen to.
Right.
But you know what? I sort of remember that. I'll have to dig it out and take a listen.
Okay. Well, it's not a tape. It's actually just a paper that I gave you with the lyrics on it.
Oh.
And it's the Johnny Mathis version, so.
Johnny Mathis?
Yeah. Walking in Winter Wonderland.
Oh, to the tune of.
Right.
I know I remembered it from somewhere.
Right, and that's www.com, walkinginwinterland.com, actually.
Okay.
So I'm glad you got it. And, you know, if you want to set it to music, you know, it's yours. You know, just take it. It's you can have the copyright and everything to it.
Well, I would have to come up with somebody worthy of singing it, because that wouldn't be me, I assure you.
Right.
You don't want to hear me sing.
Oh. That, I'm a pretty good singer myself, actually. I was thinking about sending you a tape.
Oh, really? Well then, you know. What? Do a couple of verses for me. Let me hear it.
let me hear. Oh, God. I'm on my computer here. Let me shut down for a second.
Well, why would your computer stop you?
Well, I can't remember the exact lines here.
You wrote it.
I know, but I've written so many that it's kind of hard. Okay, let me see. How does it start? Cattle dead for no reason. Zombies bed is a freezing. The curse is Ovay, make our bells day. Walking in a paranormal land.
Oh my.
Then it goes into in the meadow there's a chupacabra hanging from an elephant's neck. He came straight up from the depths of hell. With the potato in his hand.
Well, you know what you need? Da-da-da, what you need is a karaoke machine.
That's right, yeah.
And then you need to whip together a version when you're in at your best.
Okay.
And send it off to me, and maybe I'll play it on the radio.
Okay, great. I'll send it off to you.
Either that, or I'll burn it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'll see you later. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to talk to you about witchcraft.
Oh, okay.
I'm an authority on the occult and the supernatural in the United States.
You are?
Yes, I am.
How does one get to be an authority in this area, by the way?
Well, it's heritage. I have been trained since I was 4 years old. But the person that you had on, the gentleman that was talking about being in the gray area.
Yes.
I could tell that he was a novice because in Wicca, there is no black or white magic. Magic is a double-edged sword, and it swings both ways. In other words, that person who is the wielder of power
right.
is the person who will decide whether it is black or white. When you have knowledge, you have the capability of doing either.
You sound like the real thing.
I am the real thing.
How old are you?
I'm in my 40s. I have lectured all over the United States.
Have you?
I have founded the International Psychic Center in 1972. In fact, I'm a friend of Rene Barnett. I was on Strange Universe a week before you were, and it was about the Sheryl Crow story, The Curse.
You know what? I missed that one. Darn it. But you know Rene?
Yes, I do very well.
Are there... You know, I've been requesting this for a... I kid around about it a little bit. I say I want to find a broom riding, magic dispensing, potion using witch.
Well, I blend my own oils.
You blend your own oils?
That is correct. I'm into herbs. I do have an altar.
An altar?
I do magic, natural magic.
Yeah. All right, now, this is a serious question. Again, referring to the young man who was talking about the gray area.
There is no gray.
Okay. There is, though, a black, isn't there?
Yes, sir, there is.
Have you ventured into those areas?
Yes, I am a warrior for the occult. In other words, people who have had a curse placed upon them.
Yes.
And I don't care what the sect may be, Kate, Dianic, Saxon, Gardnerian, Sanitaria, Haitian, South American, Jamaican voodoo, I do it.
What is your name? Do you want to give it?
I'd be more than happy to. Dr. Evelyn Paglini. I have a PhD in parapsychology.
All right. Then, I guess my next question to you, and I'm going to start to get pretty serious here.
Sure.
Is, are you convinced, are you sure that this is a real power?
It most certainly is.
What is the source of the power, do you think?
Source of power is always God, sir.
Even in the...
Well, you can call up nature and the elements. You can call up an entity. You can deal with the hierarchy of evil. There is evocation and summation. There are those people who decide to wield the power in the dark side. They do gain power, and they can be very treacherous.
Is it true or not? It's said that if you do an evil thing to somebody, that it will come back to you. Is that
tenfold? Normally, yes.
Normally, yes. Are there exceptions? That's
yes, there can be. Very few, but there can be.
Is there a kind of a cosmic justice? In other words, if you are doing something in the dark side, which will harm somebody, and you are doing it to achieve justice or some kind of balance, is that what you're referring to when you say there can be an exception?
There can be an exception. It is rare. It is very rare. It's a case by case. And the ultimate decision would be God's, if you were justified or not. So if you did not pay it karmically in this time, you can bet you will in the next.
Huh. Are there many people that have come to you that have had curses placed on them?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to discuss the nature of a curse a little bit. There are those who say that you can only be cursed if you believe that a curse will work. In other words, if I say this is all balderdash and you're full of it, and there's no way anybody can put a curse on me, and I firmly believe that, then I cannot be cursed. Is that true, or is a curse a real thing that can occur to you whether or not you believe in it?
If the practitioner is that good, you can be 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away, you can believe it or not believe it, and it will reach you. It depends on their power and how they can concentrate it as a laser beam and send it to you. A curse is usually acquired because somebody is either seeking revenge,
yes,
or is envious of you,
uh-huh,
and wishes you ill will.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got a break coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
Yes, sir.
And I would like to hold you over, and I would be willing to call you back on my nickel if you want to give me your number during the break.
Certainly.
All right. Done deal. Stay right where you are. I'm Art Bell. And from the high desert, this is the magical CBC radio network. This should be very, very interesting. Are you listening? Can you tell? She's the real thing. So I have some questions. How about you? Stay right where you are. There is more.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997. Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 3rd, 1997.
Oh, I tell you, I like the Pointer Sisters. I probably don't have to tell you that, huh? We go back to Dr. Evelyn Paglini. I hope I did that right, Evelyn.
Yes, you did.
Good. You are a self-described... You don't really use the word witch.
No, I am not. I'm an authority on the occult and the supernatural in the United States. I'm a practicing metaphysician.
All right. I am going to broach a kind of a sensitive area for me, and I may have to blank out your answer. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something that's been very seriously going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been listening to the program for any period of time, you probably know I've made mention of it. Is there any way...
Yes, I can help. I'll give you an explanation. The salt that was used by your wife,
uh-huh,
on the doll,
mm-hmm,
is what they call the first layer of defense. Second layer of defense would be sea salt. Third layer of defense would be sulfur. Third layer of defense would be black salt. In other words, when you want to put a shield of protection around you, depending on the individual who is sending you a negativity, you better make sure you pull out the big guns. You can also use herbs, and you can also use blended essential oils that are blended specifically for the purpose.
All right. Suppose I wanted to...
put a shield of protection and set up a mirror and send it back to whoever sent it to you?
Suppose I wanted to do something negative to somebody who has done something negative to me.
And?
And in my own mind achieve justice. And in fact achieve justice.
It can be done.
It can be done?
Yeah. Very simply.
Are you... would you call yourself a seer?
People have called me that. They've called me a magician, a seer, a sorceress. I call myself a warrior in the occult. I do not like an innocent person that is touched by a practitioner of the dark side. I have been raised in the occult in order to protect those who are innocently touched.
Okay. Then let me try this. There are... deeds that people do to each other, and I guess you could suggest any evil deed comes from the dark side, but there are in the real world, not the occult world, bad things that people do to each other. If somebody does something bad to you in the real world without it necessarily being connected to the occult, maybe everything is for all I know, what the hell do I know? But in other words, if they do a bad thing to you, can you respond to them from the dark side to achieve what would be perceived as karmic justice?
Yes, you can by setting up a mirror. It's called a boomerang. In other words, the person has to be worried, that is the sender, has to be worried that you have not acquired an individual like myself who will teach you, one, how to put up a shield of protection, and two, how to set up a mirror, meaning anything that has been sent will be delivered right back. There is never an innocent party that is ever touched that way.
The incident, the thing that I'm referring to, is not specifically the case that you heard about this morning with the doll. However, since you brought that up, it's far, far, far more serious than that. But since you brought that up, my wife did know then what she was doing when she did that.
Absolutely. First layer of defense.
Because I looked at her and I went, huh?
No, that is the first layer of defense. It's fortunately, if an individual that designed the doll was not a very heavily practitioner, then that would have taken care of it. If this person was of great power, then that first layer of defense would have been dissolved immediately. And the curse would not have been taken off of that doll. You need more.
You know, it's a funny thing, but really, having said that it didn't connect to that doll, I honestly have no way of knowing what this thing that has occurred, what it relates to. I have no way of knowing. Fascinating. What I would like to do is take a few calls. I have asked you the serious questions that I want to ask, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of program left, but I sure would like to see what the audience would have to say.
Sure.
Let's just try it and see what we got, what we get out there. Hello there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Yeah, I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we got off the air at the half an hour there.
Oh.
But from what I heard... Dr. Evelyn seems to be practicing the old eon type of magic that is becoming outdated.
Really? Is it? That's an interesting question, Doctor. Is it outdated? Is that a fair comment? Or
well, for those individuals who are dealing with metaphysical practitioners, depending on the sect they belong to, it is my outdated training that is able to perform what I am able to perform. And it is the innocent party who is the recipient who is usually looking for someone like me because I take on all comers.
So in other words, sir, outdated, I'm not sure that's the right term. If something works, it might start to become a lost art, but It's if it works, it works, huh?
But like everything else, magic evolves.
Oh, that's another good question.
Oh, yes.
Doctor, does it?
Absolutely does.
It does evolve?
Oh, absolutely.
One thing.
Like I said, knowledge is a double-edged sword, and it is the hand of the wielder of power, whether it becomes black or white. You make the decision. The power is neutral. It's like a gun in the hands of a person who is going to serve and protect you. It is going to be a positive. But if in the hands of a person who is going to come in and use that gun against you, it becomes a negative. The gun itself is neutral. It is only a power. Anyone who is a practicing metaphysician into magic understands that. That's why there is no white, there is no black, there is no gray. You either know it or you don't. And if you know it, you can handle both.
God, that's a great analogy. The gun is a great analogy. A gun... never, rarely, not that I've ever seen, jumps up and kills anybody. As you point out, it can be used in any way that the holder wants to use it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Jodea, and it's an honor to speak with you.
You're going to have to yell at us almost. Where are you?
I am in Seattle, and
okay.
I consider myself sort of a Piscopagan.
Episcopagan?
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of people laugh at that, but
yeah.
I honor the goddess, Mother, Maiden, and Crone. And I also honor the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because I know my history. And so to me, the two of them go very well together because way back when, before the Catholics... took a lot of the Wiccan practices and made them Catholic, there was a blending, which is why I think the doctor might refer to the ultimate being God versus goddess. Many Wiccans like to only acknowledge goddess.
Oh, yeah. And some like Woden and Freya.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Depends on what sect you belong to.
Exactly. I have an
I'm an occultist, and so therefore I have studied all of the sects. I'm a practitioner.
Well, I'm on my way to studying as many as possible, though what works most for me is Yoruban and Wicca.
Excellent.
I'm an African-American woman, and
excellent.
My question to you is this. What connection does metaphysics or magic have to do with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder? I'm working in the field of mental health,
mm-hmm.
and I've noticed that many schizophrenic people tend to hear seven voices, which coincides with a lot of my Yoruban knowledge of the seven African gods.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've noticed with manic depression, a lot of it seems to be extremely spiritual for many of the people. And in fact, the psychiatrist or psychologist will refer to it as a God fixation.
All right. Is there a connection, ma'am?
There is a connection only because there have been many individuals who have been placed in institutions many years ago who indeed were having latent psychic abilities, visions. They were being contacted by spirits or entities, and they have been called schizophrenic, they have been called psychotic, and they have been unfortunately detained.
And then I suppose years prior to that, many, they were burned.
Absolutely, especially if they were good.
Especially if they were good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Yes. Does she have a website, and what is her view on the quickening of the earth changes we're undergoing, the weather changes, so forth?
All right. Well, everybody has a website. Doctor, do you...
Mine is under construction. It is called Mystical Blend. I also have a live late-night talk show of the same name. And as far as the quickening is concerned, he's right on the money. And unfortunately or fortunately... I have been putting out a newsletter called Insight, and I have been talking about this for the last 25 years. We are in the countdown stages. 1997 to 2004 is one portion of a devastation of the population of Earth.
It's already begun.
Yes, it has.
It's we're in the middle of it now. That's what I would say. And it's all around us. You have but to...
Everybody should buy your book. And I'm not just using it as a plug. They need to know, and I like the fact that you now have on the show where they can get survival equipment, emergency.
It's not there by accident.
I know it isn't, and you're doing a wonderful job. People need to have this in their home, just like that Beijing radio. You must have access to news as well as survival, because there are people who have been losing everything in an instant.
Yes, I know. We see it daily on the television. There's no question about it. All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Whoops, nope, you're a dial tone. You can't go on the air. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, all right.
Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, it's off.
Where are you?
I'm in Van Nuys, California.
Van Nuys.
Yes. My son and I, quite a few years ago, separately, have had curses put on us, me physically, and him, money-wise. Makes a lot, but loses a lot. And I wonder if there's any way that I could write this lady, because I have taken my son to many people to have this removed, and it hasn't come off. Myself, no one has said they could take it off. I've been crippled for quite a few years now, and so I would like to write this doctor, if possible.
All right. In other words, how to contact you, doctor?
Well, believe it or not, I am in the Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys area, and they can write to me at Mystical Blend or Dr. Evelyn Paglini, and that's at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413.
Better do it again.
That's Dr. Evelyn Paglini, Paglini, at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413.
Got it. All right, if I can get it, they can get it. That's the way I figure. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi.
Hey, Art, how are you doing?
I'm all right, sir.
I got a mouthful of pretzels. I'm sorry.
Never call with a mouthful of pretzels.
I'm sorry about that. Listen, I didn't get a chance to listen to your show tonight.
Then why would you call?
Because I have a very interesting piece of information for you.
Well, I have a guest on the air.
I'm sorry.
See, that's what happens when you don't listen and you just call. You don't know, and then there's a guest, and then...
Well, one thing, I was out playing a music gig tonight. I'm a musician. And then two, they drop you at 5 o'clock here in the Midwest.
I understand. So call me tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right, take care. See, you shouldn't do that. Don't call the blind like that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini and Art Bell. Hi.
Hello, this is Aaron.
Aaron, turn your radio off, please.
No problem, it's off.
Good. Go.
I just wanted to know if she's ever heard about the Golden Dawn.
Absolutely.
I haven't.
I've been studying for a little while.
So you like Crowley, Mathers, and Agrippa.
You're both talking over my head. What are you talking about?
They are very good practitioners of the occult, no longer, of course, among the living, but the Golden Dawn is exceptional.
Yes, and I'm studying with some friends that are... We're still into the books, and they're reading about it, and they're teaching me what they know.
Yeah, pick up the Equinox, the entire set.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's excellent. Crowley was a master.
Yes, he's done a lot of good work.
Yes, he has.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the call. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Art Bell and Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi.
Oh, wow. Hello, Art. This is Jason from Tacoma.
Yes, Jason.
Yes, I would like to know if the doctor has any information on clays being used for certain curses, I might say. My aunt, I guess, or someone that I was related to, I think, had a woman that lived next door to her who didn't like her very much for some reason. I did believe it was jealousy. And I think the thing was, she took some clay, the woman did, the witch or whatever she was, and put them in the oven.
Energy.
Yes,
made an effigy. Right now they're talking about evolvement. Now they use image candles. They're wax figures done in male or female. Or you can take cloth and you can design it into a male or a female. And if you can get something like an article of clothing and a picture, it is called imitative and sympathetic magic.
Oh, geez. Well, she put these feet inside of a little wooden wood stove.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, blisters all over her feet.
Oh, yeah. Very dangerous.
Blisters all
There's
over.
There's very dangerous people out there.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I just
That's why
believe
I teach
it.
People how to protect themselves.
Well, my mom and grandma told me about this, and it's crazy. Well, anyway, I'll let you guys go on, and thanks a lot, Art.
All right. Thank you. So you teach people how to... Here's a good question for you, Doctor.
Yes.
How is one able to discern the difference between, you know, bad luck, in other words, a bad occurrence, and something that has been, a curse that has been put on you? How can you know that?
Because normally it will run a cycle. If you are in a negative cycle, there is an end to it. It only lasts for a specific length of time.
Ah.
It only hits a particular area. But when someone's after you, they want to hit you in more than one area.
And it just keeps coming.
And it keeps coming, and it keeps feeding upon itself. And that's why you have to learn how to put up a shield of protection. What I do is not only cleanse a person, but I give them the tools so that because I want to wean them from me. I want them to know how to help themselves. So that this way, if somebody tries again, you see, if I want you bad enough, I'm going to keep coming after you. Especially
yeah.
if I'm a practitioner. So what you need to know is how to defend yourself. And that's what I teach.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, even in the martial arts, it is primarily a defense system and only if necessary and rarely an offensive system.
That is correct.
So there is a similarity or a parallel there?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is really fascinating stuff. You know, we're coming to the end of this program is what's happening. We're running out of time. But what I would like to do is be able to call on you at a future date at an earlier time.
Be more than happy to, sir.
When we could do a program.
Be more than happy to.
All right. In that case, I think that I will give you the honors this night. You know what those are?
Yes, they are.
Well, find a unique way to do it and be my guest.
Listen every single night that you can to Art Bell. Because he's a man that has a lot of knowledge, reaching a lot of people, doing a lot of good. Tune in tomorrow night.
That was not a curse, ladies and gentlemen. That was an invitation. Evelyn, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Take care. That's Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Well, you know, that's spontaneous radio, folks. That's what that is. And that's all there is for tonight. Now, tomorrow night is going to be a very interesting night. One of the Oklahoma bombing victims, Marsha Kite, will be here. And then Joyce Riley. The next night, David Oates. It's going to be interesting. From the high desert, good night.